Hello, folks, and welcome once again to another episode of Under Western Stars, the cowboy show that comes to you from the old ranch house out in Doney Park, north of Flagstaff, Arizona. Winter has moved in upon us, and I've asked a guest to come over today and help me out. Bill Verneau has been on the Flagstaff music scene for many, many years, and he knows lots of good songs. Bill, thanks for coming today.
Glad to be here, Tony.
I think we should just jump right in and hear one of the songs you've got. What are you going to play for us?
Years ago, there was a band that came through town called the Real Time Travelers, and one of their members was a woman named Martha Scanlon, who's a songwriter, and I'm going to do one of her songs right now.
I'm gonna cinch up my saddle, old Dunny and me. We're gonna drive up the cattle where the snows used to be. I ain't much for nothing, but still I can ride. And springtime's a-coming upon the divide. The springtime's a-coming upon the divide. Now old Charlie, he sold out and lost everything. A 52 Chevy and a Navajo ring. A busted flat broke and split open wide. The springtime's a-coming upon the divide. The springtime's a-coming upon the divide. Now my daddy, he died here in 33. He gave up his gun that my dad gave to me. I hope that there's somewhere we can all rope and ride. The springtime's a-coming upon the divide. The springtime's a-coming upon the divide. Now the grave on the hillside is long overgrown. It's been 22 years since I gathered the stone. 22 more since I made her my bride. Springtime's a-coming upon the divide. The springtime's a-coming upon the divide. Springtime's a-coming upon the divide. The springtime's a-coming upon the divide.
What a fine song. Martha Scanlon's songs always seem so fresh to me. Bill, you've been playing bluegrass music for a long time, but at what point did you start getting an interest in cowboy music and cowboy poetry?
Oh, man. Cowboy music I've been interested in all my life, essentially, because it's on the radio, Ghost Riders in the Sky, all the big hits and things like that. And cowboy poetry really didn't come to me until I was much older, but I always had a penchant for memorizing things and reciting things. There were a couple things I did with my brother long ago that we would, you know, just do the work of memorization and reciting it together. And maybe that comes from growing up in the Lutheran church and having to memorize Luther's small catechism. I don't know.
That's the first time Luther's small catechism has been paired with cowboy poetry, I think, Bill.
Yeah, could be. But actually, it was when I was in college. I was on a field trip up in Wyoming with an ecology class, and around the campfire at night, the professor regaled us with Robert Service poems.
What's one of the poems that that you'd like to share with us?
everybody knows The Shooting of Dan McGrew, probably, but he's got another one called The Ballad of Blasphemous Bill. And I think I'll do that one. I took a contract to bury the body of Blasphemous Bill Mackay. Wherever, whenever, or whatsoever the manner of death that he die, whether he die by the light of day or under the peak face moon, in cabin or dance hall, camp or dive, mucklucks or patent shoon, on velvet tundra or virgin peak, by glacier, drift or draw, in muskeg hollow or canyon gloom, by avalanche, fang or claw, by battle, murder or sudden wealth, pestilence, hooch or lead, I swore on the book I would follow and look till I found my tombless dead. For Bill was a kind of dainty cuss, and his mind was mighty sought on a dinky patch with flowers and grass in a civilized boneyard plot. And where he died or how he died, it didn't matter a damn, so long as he had a grave with frills and a tombstone epigram. So I promised him, and he paid the price in good cheek chaco coin, which the same I blowed that very night down in the Tenderloin. But I painted a 3-foot slab of pine. Here lies poor Bill Mackay. And I hung it up on my cabin wall, and I waited for Bill to die. Well, years passed away, and at last one day came a squaw with the story strange of a long-deserted line of traps way back of the Bighorn Range, of a little hut by the Great Divide, and a white man, stiff and still, just lying there by his lonesome self. I figured it must be Bill. And I thought of the contract I'd made with him, and I took down from the shelf that swell black box with the dinky plate Bill picked out for himself. And I loaded it full of grub and hooch, and I slung it on the sleigh, and harnessed up my team of dogs, and was off at dawn of day. You know what it's like in the Yukon wild when it's 69 below, and the ice worms wriggle their purple heads through the crust of the pale blue snow? When the pine trees crack like little guns and the sky is weirdly lit, and the careless feel of a bit of steel burns like a red-hot spit, and the mercury is a frozen ball, and the frost fiend stalks to kill. It was just like that, that day that I set out to look for Bill. Oh, the blinding hush that seemed to crush me down on every hand, as I blundered blind with a trail to find in that blank and bitter land, half dazed, half crazed in the winter wild with its grim heart-breaking woes, and the ruthless strife for a grip on life that only a sourdough knows. North by the compass, north I pressed, and river and peak and plain passed by like a dream that I slept to lose, but I woke to dream again. And river and plain and mighty peak, and who could stand unawed? As their summits blazed, you could stand undazed at the foot of the throne of God. North, aye, north, through a land accursed, shunned by the scouring brutes, and all I heard was my own harsh word and the whine of the Malamutes. But at last I came to a cabin squat, built in the side of a hill, and I burst in the door, and there on the floor, frozen to death, lay Bill. There was ice, white ice, like a winding sheet, sheathing each smoke-grimed wall, ice on the stovepipe, ice on the floor, ice gleaming over all, sparkling ice on the dead man's chest, glittering ice in his hair, ice in his fingers, ice in his heart. Ice in his glassy stare. Hard as a log, and trussed like a frog with his arms and legs outspread, I looked at the coffin I'd brought for him, and then I looked at my tombless dead. And at last I spoke,
Bill liked his joke, but still, gol darn his eyes, a man had ought to consider his mates in the way that he goes and dies. Have you ever sat in an Arctic hut in the shadow of the pole with a little coffin 6x3 and a grief you can't control? Have you ever sat by a frozen corpse that looked at you with a grin and seemed to say, you may try all day, but you'll never jam me in? I'm not a man of the quitting kind. Still, I never felt so blue as I sat there studying at the corpse and wondering what I'd do. And then I rose and I kicked off the husky dogs that was nosing around about, and I lit a roaring fire in the stove. And I started to thaw Bill out. I thawed, and I thawed for 13 days. But it didn't seem no good. His arms and legs stuck out like pegs, as if they was made of wood. And at last I spoke, it ain't no use. He's froze too hard to thaw. He's obstinate and he won't lie straight, so I guess I got to saw. So I sawed off poor Bill's arms and legs, and I laid him snug and straight in the little coffin he'd picked himself with a dinky silver plate. And I came nigh near to shedding a tear as I nailed him safely down and stowed him away in my Yukon sleigh and headed back to town. And I buried him there, as the contract was, in a narrow grave and deep. And there he's waiting the great cleanup when the judgment sluice heads sweep. And I sit at night and I smoke my pipe in the light of the midnight sun, and sometimes I wonder if they was those awful things that I done. And as I sits and the parson talks, expounding of the law, well, sometimes I'll think of poor old Bill and how hard he was to saw.
a wonderful poem that doesn't get shared much. It's a that's a good Halloween poem.
Yeah, it is a good one.
I wonder if he did performances of his poetry, whether he did readings or recitations. I'd love to have heard those in his voice.
I've heard other people recite his poems, and it's a varied stream of interpretations.
Yeah. Well, it's no secret that for over 25 years, you and I produced a little midwinter cowboy show that we called Cowboy Campfire.
That's right.
Up in the Zane Grey Ballroom in the old historic Weatherford Hotel in downtown Flagstaff. And through the years, we had many wonderful guests, and it was always such a wonderful performance atmosphere for us, with a small group, 40, 50 people sitting up close and the fireplace going. And
right. And it was always in the month of February, I think, originally scheduled.
That's
by
right.
The old Winterfest celebration.
That's right.
And yeah.
And then we got old and we forgot to do it anymore. What's another song you could do for us, Bill?
Because we're in Doney Park.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a song I learned from an old bluegrass band called the Virginia Squires. And it talks about the wind in a place like this and the changing of the seasons.
See the clouds are gathering and the birds are heading south. It's time to gather firewood and get the blankets out. Chilly winds blowing cold across our mountain. Just feeling all this cold makes you wonder now and then. But will God bring the springtime again? I've been a patching and a fixing all the summer through. We'll try to stop the wind. Crops are in the cellar, we stored them all away. We hope that they will last us until winter's had its say. Chilly winds blowing cold across our mountains.
Definitely a question for the dead of winter.
Yep, sometimes it's hard to see your way through before the solstice.
Bill, you do such a fine job with some of the humorous cowboy poetry, and I'm thinking about a poem that I've heard you do many times called The Bra. Are you up for doing that?
Yeah, I think so. This is a poem written by a rancher up in, I believe, Rigby, Idaho, just up near West Yellowstone. His name is Bill Hershey. Now, I ain't much for shopping. Fact is, I never go to town. And except for when shipping time comes, I ain't that easily found. But the day come, I had to go. I left the kids with Ma. Before I left, she asked me if I would pick her up a bra. Well, I said, without thinking, sure. How tough can that job be? And I bent down and kissed her. I said I'd be back by 3. Well, when I got done what I needed to, I started to regret ever offering to buy that thing. I started working up a sweat. Across the street to that lady's shop, with my hat down over my eyes, I wasn't taking any chances on being recognized.
But I went right up to the sales clerk. I didn't hem nor haw. I told that gal straight out. I said, "Ma'am, I'm here to buy a bra." Well, from behind I heard some snickering, and I turned around to see about 15 women grinning and gawking back at me. "What style were you looking for?" she said, and I just scratched my head. I'd only seen one kind before. "I thought bras is bras," I said. Well, she rolls her eyes and says, "Sir, that's where you were wrong. Come along with me," she said, and like a dog, I tagged along. She takes me down this alley where all them bras is on display. I thought my jaw would hit the floor when I saw that lingerie. They had all these shapes and styles like I'd not seen before. I thought I'd go plumb crazy before I left that women's store. They got bras you wear for 18 hours. And them that cross your heart. They got bras that lift and separate, and that was just the start. Heck, there's bras that make you feel like you ain't wearing one at all. And bras that you can train in for to start out when you're small. Well, I finally got it figured. I picked a black and lacy one. Told the gal to bag her up. Figured we was done. And then she asked me for the size. Well, I didn't hesitate. I told that gal straight out. I said, 6 7/8". 6 7/8", she said. Why, surely that's not right. Yes, ma'am, I'm positive. I measured them last night. She started going into shock. I had taken her by surprise when I finally told her that my wife's bust was the same as my hat size. That's what I used to measure. I thought that it was fair. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, ma'am, but all she did was stare. And by now a crowd had gathered, and they's all cracking up when she finally asked to see my hat so she could measure for the cup. Well, we finally got it tallied, and I give the gal her pay. I turned to leave the shop and tipped my hat and said good day. My wife had heard the story before I ever got back home. About 15 women had told her and called her on the phone, and she was still a-laughing, but by then I didn't care. And now, she don't ask, and I don't shop for no more women's wear.
I just noticed this morning on Facebook, somebody posted that a coyote was seen walking down Stardust down in the valley below, and someone was warning people to keep an eye on their pets.
Right.
Here at Under Western Stars, the coyote is our friend. I love that song that you do about the coyote, Bill. Would you play that?
Sure. That song was written by Bob McDill. He was kind of a prolific songwriter, wrote a bunch of songs like for the Oak Ridge Boys and things like that. He wrote Song of the South. And he wrote this song that I learned from the singing of Don Edwards.
Was a cowboy I knew in South Texas. His face was burnt deep by the sun. Part history, part sage, part mesquite. He was there when Pancho Villa was young. And he'd tell you the tale of the old days, when the country was wild all around. He'd sit out under the stars of the Milky Way, listen while the coyotes howl. And they go, hoo-yip, hoo-yip, hoo. Gone, the Comanches are gone, and the outlaws are gone. Sam Bass is gone, and Stan Waddy is gone, and the lion is gone, and the red wolf is gone. Well, he cursed all the roads and the oil men. He cursed the automobile. Said this is no place for an hombre like I am. In this new world of asphalt and steel. And then he'd look off someplace in the distance. Something only he could see. He'd say all that's left now, the old days. The damned old coyotes and me. They'd go, hoo-yip, hoo-yip, hoo. Now the longhorns are gone, and the drovers are gone, the Comanches are gone, and the outlaws are gone, and Sam Bass is gone, and Stan Waddy is gone, and the lion is gone, and the red wolf is gone. One morning we searched his adobe. He disappeared without even a word. But that night as the moon climbed the mountain, one more coyote was heard. And he'd go, hoo-yip, hoo-yip, hoo.
What a lovely song. Bill, thanks so much for joining us here on Under Western Stars. Will you come back again sometime?
I'd love to. Thanks for having me as your guest, Tony.
You've been listening to Under Western Stars, sponsored by the Historic Museum Club in Flagstaff, Arizona. Matt Sarnowski is our engineer. Jay Jacoby and Greg Hales provide technical support. And I'm Tony Norris, your host. You can go to my website, www.tonynorris.com, and listen to archived programs of Under Western Stars. Until next time, adios.